said that they had had a born-again experience. Now, I question that that we've got that many in our country who have really had a born-again experience. At least I think in the way that the Bible defines the new birth or what it means to be born again. I think there's some definite changes that take place in the life of a person. We're going to look at some of those tonight. Let me give you a definition of what it means to be born again. I found one of the simplest definitions is that it is an inner recreating of the fallen human nature by the gracious sovereign action of the Holy Spirit. It is an inner recreating of fallen human nature by the gracious sovereign action of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at several aspects of the new birth. If you're there in John chapter 3, I want to begin reading with verse 3, where Jesus is confronted in this very familiar story with a man named Nicodemus, who was, as you know, a well-schooled Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was well acquainted with the Old Testament, knew it as well as any man of his day. And yet there was one thing that he was absolutely ignorant on, and that is this whole doctrine of what it means to be born again, a new birth. So in verse 3, Jesus answers Nicodemus' question here in verse 2 by saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Now, actually, this passage, along with a passage in Titus chapter 3, where it talks about how we've been born again or regenerated by the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, are the only two passages in the New Testament where we have it clearly set forth. The work of being born again, or the other word in Titus 3:5, is regenerated, renewed, made new. And that's what we're talking about in the new birth. A man is made new. He's made all over again. He's made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. He's recreated, restructured, as he was before the fall, so that now he has the potential to live a life that is pleasing to God, whereas in his fallen humanity, there's absolutely nothing that man can do to please God. And that's why we have the doctrine of the total depravity of mankind. Now, I want to first of all look at the basis of the new birth. We have that set forth for us in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to have you turn to several passages, so you might as well get your Bible out and be ready to turn. We're going to do an Arnold tonight and have you kind of all over the Bible before it's over. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Where we have the basis of our new birth. And I think it's extremely important in this day when we're hearing so many talk about their born-again experiences to know what the basis of being born again is. It wasn't any cheap redemption that brought us to this point. It was a very costly thing for our Father to be able to bring us into this renewed state where we can now call Him our Father. And that's what Peter's saying in 1 Peter 1, verse 17. "And if you address as the Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay here upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Peter very clearly sets forth here the basis of our redemption is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm rather appalled when I read so many testimonies today of people that talk about how they were born again. And I was reading one not too long ago of a movie star. And yet there was absolutely nothing said about the person of Jesus Christ, let alone the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the basis of our redemption. And I really question that a man can be born again without first of all knowing what the very basis of our redemption and our new birth experience is. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. That it took that blood to cover our sins, to make us acceptable before the Father, so that we could be regenerated and made new in His likeness. So there we have the basis of our new birth. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we need to keep that before us. It's the blood that brings us into a right relationship with the Father, the basis of our new birth. Let's look at the second aspect, and that is the author of the new birth. Who is the author? Every work has an author. We heard many songs tonight. These songs have an author. Well, the work of the being born again has an author. Somebody has to initiate it and originate it or come up with it. And we see the author of the new birth is given to us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus is the book right after 2 Timothy, if you know where that is, which is right after 1 Timothy, which is right after 2 Thessalonians, if you know where that is, which is right after 1 Thessalonians. Titus 3, verse 5. And if you don't know where that is, I'm not going to tell you. Titus 3, 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and by the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Notice, it's the Father who saves us. It's the work of God. John chapter 3, the passage we read a few moments ago, the word that is used here and translated born again is an interesting word. We call it born again, but if we were to use a literal translation of that phrase born again, it means literally born from above. That's what it is in the Greek. One who is born from above. Here below, we are born the first time, the natural birth, by human parents upon earth. But our Lord is saying there must come another birth, a new birth, and that birth is not from the earth, but is from above. It's a work of the Father. The Father is the one who originates it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 talks about how we're born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So there's no question that God is the one who originates and authorizes the new birth. Look back in John chapter 1 and verse 12, another extremely interesting passage in connection with our new birth. John 1 verse 12. This is a familiar verse, but we often, in quoting verse 12, never get to verses 13 and 14, which are extremely important. Verse 13 particularly. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, not by human origin, nor of the will of the flesh, nothing that mankind has willed, nor of the will of man, but of God. He is the author of this born-again experience. Let's look at the third aspect of the new birth. And that is the agent of the new birth. How does this take place? Everything must have an agent. I have an insurance policy on my cars, which I'm sure you do too. At least I hope you do. And that insurance company, I really don't have any contact with, basically. It's all been done through an agent. God used an agent in bringing about this new birth experience in my life. What is the agent? Well, the Bible very clearly tells us that the agent is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who carries out the desire and the will of the Father to bring us into a new relationship with Him through the process of regeneration or being born again. Again, in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where we'll be looking frequently, we see that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. That which is born, in verse 3, unless one is born again, in verse 5, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. Here's the agent. Born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So the agent that brings about the new birth in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the fourth aspect of what it means to be born again. And that is the means that God used to bring about this new birth experience. How does it come about? We all want to know, how does a man be born again? Where does it start? The author of it, the originator of it, is God. The agent that He uses is the Holy Spirit to bring it about. But the means that He uses is the Word of God. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. I hope you're turning. I don't hear too many Bibles right now. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. For you have been, and here's the word, born again, not of seed which is perishable. That's the human seed here that we can all see the likeness. Not of human seed, perishable seed, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. What is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring about the new birth? It's the Word of God. And the Word of God has a quality about it that it is living. It is, as Francis Schaeffer often uses the phrase, true truth. It is living truth. And because the Word of God is living, it brings life to those who heed its message. It has that quality of life, Zoe here, which, as we've talked about frequently in past weeks, means that real life, not just existence, but real life, the kind of life that God intended for us to have. It comes about through the Word of God, which is living, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that brings about this new birth experience and brings us into a right relationship with Him. I'll never forget the first church that I pastored. I was preaching on Sunday morning, and I was really feeling kind of out of it, about like I was this morning, to be honest about it, and about like I'm feeling right now, just sort of out of it in my head. And because of a cold, and then I took some medication tonight, so I kind of feel like I'm floating around somewhere. If I seem kind of strange, that's because I am. But I remember that morning, I just really fell out of it, and yet the Lord seemed to use that morning, and there was a 66-year-old couple that were there for the very first time, and they came up to me after the service, and I was just a young pastor of 21 years of age. And I was so dumbfounded in the first place that they even came to me. And I thought, surely they didn't come because of my message. And I look back over my messages, and I'm just sure God couldn't have used a message to get through to them. But at any rate, they came up to me, and they said, I just preached a simple gospel message that morning. And this couple, 66 years of age, I'll never forget him as he came up, and he said, you know, I've been in churches all my life, but that's the first time I've ever heard that message. And something just seemed to click. There was an exchange that took place. That all at once the whole thing was put together in this man's mind, as well as his wife, both at the same time, that they wanted to be born again, to have this new birth experience. And it was that morning when they trusted Christ, and their lives were just wonderfully changed as a result of that step of faith in their direction. Let's look at the fifth aspect of the new birth, and that is the power for the new birth. Where does the power for the new birth come? When we stop and think of the power that is there that creates life, we've heard so much this past week about the test tube baby that's been born in England. And yet it's just one small step, one very small step, because the life still had to be there. There wasn't any creating of life. And yet when we stop and think about that power and how the power of the first birth has been withheld from man and still is withheld from man to this day, to where there's no way that he can create life, where does the power come from to create the new birth and to change us from fallen humanity into a state of where now we can actually live lives that are pleasing to the Father? Where's the power come from? Well, we find that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 through 20. Where he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that furnishes us this power to be able to be raised likewise from out of a state of fallenness, out of a state of darkness, out of a state of death into life and light. It's the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's the basis of the power. And also, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that manifested Him to be declared to be the Son of God, that He was declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead in Romans 1:4. And that's our assurance, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that the moment that we by faith trust Him, that we too have been born again. That's our assurance. In other words, your new birth experience, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ by faith, your new birth experience is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul frequently uses that phrase that we have been raised up together with Christ and made to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ. So our new birth is dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's also our assurance that it's taken place the moment that we by faith trust Him. Whether or not we feel any different is incidental. Let's look at the sixth aspect of the new birth experience, and that is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to bring this about. You have to have some kind of an instrument. The means is the Word of God. The agent is the Holy Spirit. The author is God. But there's an instrument involved in bringing this about, and that is faith. Galatians 3:26, "For you are all the children of God," or we could retranslate that or paraphrase that, "you have all become born again or regenerated by faith in Christ Jesus." There is the instrument that God uses to bring us into this new relationship and new state of life from out of a state of darkness and death. John 1:12, "But as many as received Christ," that's faith, "as many as received Him, to them He gives the right, the authority, to be called sons." It's faith that brings about this new birth experience. I want you to look back in John chapter 3 again, which is our text tonight, and see this further conversation of Jesus with Nicodemus. John 3, verse 9. "Nicodemus answered and said to Him, 'How can these things be?'" In other words, how can a man be born again? I just don't understand it. That's what he's saying. "Something my mind cannot conceive." And probably some of you tonight are asking the same thing. I don't see how it can be as simple as that, that it's just by faith that a man is born again. That's really what Nicodemus is asking here, is how does it come about? And in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? You're a wise man, and yet you don't understand how it comes about? Truly I say to you, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? But no one has ascended into heaven but He who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man." Now notice in verse 14, Jesus very shrewdly, wisely, goes back into the Old Testament and cites an illustration that Nicodemus would have been very familiar with as a scholar of Old Testament history. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," it's the wilderness of Zin near Mount Hor. Many of us were there, spent an afternoon there, a wonderful afternoon, in the wilderness of Zin on a day when it was about 120, sizzling hot, and we could look over in the distance and see the place of Mount Hor. There were a lot of interesting things that happened there that day. And this was the very place where the Israelites began to complain. And that was about the point when we started complaining, as I remember it. They begin to complain and murmur against God. And I can see if they were there at that time of the year why there was some complaining and grumbling. It's hard not to at that point. But anyway, the Lord just got really fed up with the people. And so He sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit many of the people. And those who were bitten died. And so they begin to cry out to the Lord and cry out to Moses for help. And so the Lord directs Moses. He says, "Take a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole, a standard." And then He gives them a very simple remedy. And it's so simple that we just don't see how it's possible. And that remedy, He says, is, "As many who look upon that brazen serpent upon that pole will be healed. They'll be cured. The serpent bite will not kill them." And Jesus, when He's talking about the new birth experience here to Nicodemus, it's interesting that He goes back and He cites that example. That's how it comes about. That's the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses, is our faith. Now, it doesn't say that the Israelites were to get down on their knees and plead with God to save them. It doesn't say that they were to beg. It doesn't say they had to do anything. They didn't have to do 20 laps or anything else. All they had to do was exercise faith that if they looked to that brazen serpent there on that standard, they would be healed. And the Bible says as many as who looked were healed. Now that's an illustration of the instrument that God uses. And some of us here tonight, some of you who have really never made that step of faith yet, you haven't made it because somehow you just feel it won't work. It's too simple. Now, had the Israelites thought that it was too simple and it wouldn't work, they wouldn't have been healed. And that's the same place that you are. You've tried everything else. If you really want to be born again and have a new life and have something happen inside you, that comes about through just the simplicity of exercising faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. So that's the instrument. We used to hear this song sung by a quartet. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. I've a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. That you only look to Him and you'll live. That's how simple it is. That's the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses. Let's look finally at the evidence of the new birth. What is the evidence of the new birth? There ought to be evidences that the new birth has actually taken place. I read an article. I wished I could have found it today. My files are not as complete as Arnold's and others, where I can always put my finger right on what I want. But there was an article either in Christianity Today or Eternity Magazine where a writer wrote quite a lengthy article on this, how popular it is to be born again today, and yet somewhere along the line we've missed the concept that if you've really been born again, your life is going to be changed. That you just can't be the same person if you're a new person. You say if you're a new person, you can't have the same marks that you had when you were still in the flesh. If the Spirit of God has really been at work in your life, then there's got to be some changes somewhere. There's got to be some fruit. Doesn't mean you're going to be altogether different. But your old identity has certainly passed away, and you have a new identity and a new relationship with Jesus Christ, and that new relationship ought to have some effect in your life. There's many passages of Scripture that deal with that question as far as what are the evidences. If you'll go back to Titus chapter 3, our other text here tonight, you'll see some evidences of the new birth. Titus 3, verses 1 through 5. Where Paul is leading up to the subject of regeneration. In Titus 3, verse 1, he says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one." Now notice he's giving us a series of characteristics of the man who's been born again. First of all, he maligns no one. He is uncontentious. He's not a contentious man. He's not a troublemaker. He's very gentle. Showing every consideration for all men. That's certainly the mark of a new man. Because you see, in the flesh, you don't really have any consideration for others. Your whole life revolves around me. That's the boundary. The furthest extension of my life is me when I'm in the flesh. But if I'm in Jesus Christ, then I ought to become very considerate of others. "For we once also were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures." There ought to be some freedom now that we're no longer enslaved to those same lusts and those same pleasures that we once had. There ought to be a difference there. "Spending our life in malice and envy." Isn't that so typical of the world? You know, you pick up the newspaper and you read nothing but malice and envy. That's why we have so many lawsuits today. People just get ticked at the least little thing. And there's envy that I want what Joe Blow has. And he wants what I've got. We become very envious. "Hateful, hating one another." What a picture, a sad portrait that is of fallen humanity, but that's not the way we ought to be as believers. And Paul makes a distinction here. There's a very distinct point at which change ought to take place. "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Look over in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul sets forth several characteristics that ought to be peculiar to the Christian life, the new birth experience. Colossians 3, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's the new birth here, if you have been raised up with Him, or literally since you've been raised up with Christ, it's not a question of whether or not you have. He's writing to believers and he says, since you have been raised up with Christ, that's the new birth, you've been born again. Keep seeking the things that are above. And then down in verse 5, he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatries. To idolatry, it's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Down in verse 9, verse 8, put aside all anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Our conversation ought to be one of truth, that we're speaking truth to one another and yet doing it in love, clothing it in love. Since you laid aside the old self and have put on the new self. Down in verses 18 through 25, he deals with the husband-wife relationship. There ought to really be a difference in our homes. Ought to make a difference in the way your wife responds to you and the way your husband responds to you. It ought to make a difference. Because Jesus Christ really makes a difference. And if there's no evidence that there's any difference, then you cannot really say that you've been born again. There has to be some kind of evidence of change. Now that's why these believers tonight, and I've talked with them just prior to the service, are being baptized, is because they've indicated that they've had that new birth experience. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, we're just forgiven. But there is an inward attitude, an inner change, that somehow reflects in our relationships outwardly with others. And if you've never had that new birth experience tonight, and you may be here and this is all strange to you, I encourage you, stop looking around. Look to Jesus and live. Exercise faith in Him. And that's the instrument that God uses through His Word to bring about a born-again experience. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your Word, and we thank You for its power. And we just thank You tonight, Father, that we've had that experience, and it's all of You and not of man, not of works, lest we could boast. We just pray Your blessing, especially upon our baptismal service now, and for those believers who are following You in obedience, openly identifying with Jesus Christ through baptism. May it just be a blessing for them as well as for all of us who will witness this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.